We're going to shift to our passage today as we continue in our summer series, Our Favorite Verses. We've been hearing from one another some of the passages, some of the verses that have impacted our own lives, and we're able to hear from each other how that is and why that is. And today we have a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. And the verses will be behind us. There's also the Word of God. We have copies available for you. If you'd like one, you can just simply go to the back and get one, or just raise your hand and someone would love to bring that for you. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, we had Zach Ward share those verses with us for today. And so I'm going to ask Zach to come up and to share with us the verses and also just how it's impacted him. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Corey. All right, so the verse we have here today is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, when I was thinking of my favorite verses, there were a few that came to mind, including John 10:10, Romans 1:20, Jeremiah 29:11, Ephesians 2:8-10, and Romans 12:1-2. But I picked 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 because it captures the essence that we have a God who is working for the good he has planned for us and is against the sin that destroys us. When I think about the dynamic that occurs between people, God and the world, I view the world and God as two opposing forces, where we can lean more towards one or the other based on our state of being, whether in Christ or in the world. Now, even though I think believers tend to have a higher affinity for the things of God, I do still believe we can have worldly tendencies as well at times, and the world we live in does not often encourage the best lifestyle. I believe these verses highlight that we can often be immersed in an environment which is saturated with arguments and lofty, and by the way, lofty means high-minded, opinions, which are constantly permitted to us through media, education, work, etc. However, even though we are in the world which promotes these opinions and ideas, we can clearly observe God can work in us to go against the flow of the world's agenda and not give in to the fleshly desires of the world, which aim to go against the knowledge of God. So overall, I think these verses are a reminder that even though we may be tempted for the reasoning and arguments of our world, and these arguments may sound better at the surface level than a godly lifestyle, we still have the power for him to live in his goodness and abundant life and even encourage others to live likewise as well, just as God has always intended for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Thank you, Zach. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I'm going to start with an imperfect analogy to try to get one point across. I want you to imagine with me, if we knew that in 5 years from now, there was going to be an invasion, let's say an alien invasion, of enemies that are far more powerful than we are. In fact, we will have no ability from all the weapons we have, everything we have, we will have no ability to defend ourselves from this coming invasion in 5 years, okay? But then it's revealed to us that there are a few weapons, a few pieces of armor that will be effective, that will be able to defend against the coming enemy, that will be able to fight back in some way. But there's only a few weapons. That's it. And the question for you is, if that were the case, would you want to know what those weapons and what that armor is? Yes. Would you want to know how to protect yourself, how to wield those weapons, both for your own sake and for those you care about? Would you care to pay attention to what those are? Okay, so here's the truth of it. It's not an alien invasion in 5 years. It's something a lot more serious than that. It's something a lot more deadly than that, not just a physical war or something coming in 5 years. The war is already happening. It's already here. The enemy is a lot more powerful than just what we would imagine of some alien invasion coming, like Independence Day style. And it's for not just physical death, it's for our souls. The war is already here. It's more serious than an alien invasion. It's for our souls. And there are some weapons, and there are some armor that God has revealed to us. And the question for you and I is, do we care about that? Are we going to use that armor? Are we going to use the weapons that he's already given to us? And here's the main idea. Hopefully it's not that surprising. The war that we are in can only be won by God's power. The war we are in can only be won by God's power. I hope that comes across very clearly in the message today. Only by his power. And then I have three questions for us to walk through and consider as we look at these verses. Do we know what the war is about? What is this war all about? Secondly, do we know who it's against? Who are we fighting against? And then finally, do we know the weapons that we have? What's the war about? Do we know who it's against? Do we know the weapons that we have? Here's the first one. Do we know what the war is all about? What is at the heart of this war that we're already in? That many of us know very well that we're already in because we're already fighting it. What's at the heart of the war? The heart of the war is the war for the heart. That might be helpful to remember. The word for heart, the biblical word for heart, isn't just the organ in the middle of your chest, right? It means your heart, mind, will. It's the core. It's who you are. It's for our souls. The core, what's the heart, at the heart of the war is the war for our hearts. And how does the enemy try to get at our heart, at our mind? The answer is lies. At the heart of the war is combating lies. Right? We're not talking about physical war. We're talking about the spiritual warfare that's already happening, and the heart of it is for our minds, for our hearts. It's about combating lies. What do the verses say? The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We'll talk about that in a little bit. To destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Do you see how he's getting at the difference between truth and lies and fighting against lies? At the heart of it is the war for our heart. At the heart of spiritual warfare is combating lies. All right. Second, do we know who the war is against? Where are these lies coming from? There are a few answers to that question. First of all, lies can come just from ourselves. We can have, at times, no one to blame but ourselves. I'm creating this lie. I'm thinking this lie. I came up with this lie because of my own disordered desires, because of the fall. I have wrong ideas about what's right and what's true. I have selfish ideas. I can create my own lies. I don't even need help with it. But lies also come from the outside. They come from the world that will normalize lies, that will normalize living lies, that will normalize sin. They come from ourselves, they come from the world. But both of those, ourselves and the world, are powerfully influenced by the ruler of this age, the enemy of God, aka the devil or Satan. They are both powerfully influenced by the devil. Primarily, who is the enemy? It's the enemy of God, the father of lies, Satan, and his demonic army. He influences this world. He influences, tries to influence us individually. At times, even as it says in John 13, verse 2, Judas at the Last Supper, it says in John 13, 2, that the devil had already implanted in the heart of Judas, in the mind of Judas, the idea to betray Jesus. He's active. He's at work. Who is the war against? It's primarily against the enemy of God. Let me show you more directly where it says that. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. I have that as well. Thank you. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Right? Main idea. The war can only be won that we're in by God's power. God's power, not ours. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of who? The devil. Here's the primary enemy. Against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to repeat that like four times until you're annoyed at me. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Was that three or four? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I say that over and over again because I need to be reminded of it basically on a daily basis, and so do you. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Everything in us, everything that people, it's going to be tempted to think the problem is the person. The problem is the boss. The problem is my coworker. The problem is my spouse. The problem is my neighbor. The problem is me. The problem is them. The problem is this. The problem is that. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're on the same team, y'all. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I'll just be really upfront. There's so much that we could talk about, that we could dig into, in these passages and these verses that, frankly, I've been pretty overwhelmed this week. And have realized more and more so just what's already been true is just how dependent I am and we are on God and just how humbling this whole battle is because we have no strength. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to give. I can be in the weight room 24/7, which I'm not, and it will do no good against this war that we're in, against the enemy that we have. We could try to develop the most advanced weaponry the world has ever known or thought of and press the socks off of people. It will do nothing against the war that we are already in. The heart of it is for our heart, for having us believe lies. And the enemy of God, the devil, and the satanic army that he has is the primary enemy that we have. It's the war for the heart, the war for truth. And we see the war happening throughout the whole story of Scripture, from the garden to Job, to Daniel, to David, to Jesus. And the strategy is pretty much the same. Give some truth, but with poison in it. Give some truth, but mix it with lies. All the way through the story, and to Jesus, where he would even quote part of Psalm 91. He's quoting the Bible to him. Here's some truth mixed with lies. I'm for you. I care about you. I'll give you power and influence. I'll do this. I'll do that. Mixed with lies. The father of lies, Jesus calls him. But do you know what happens when we listen to and embrace some of those lies? When we receive lies and we internalize them and we start living out of those, what happens is strongholds are built. Let's go back to our verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's these lofty opinions, these arguments that some were believing against the knowledge of God. They are lies that are received that build up this kind of mental walls of a word fortress, sorry, stronghold, means fortress or castle. And they get built up in us. And they can't just be done away with. There's got to be weapons that actually go out and tear those down and take captives. But when we believe lies, they create strongholds. And within that stronghold, within that fortress, that castle in our heart, in our mind, the enemy of God has room to play, has room to wreak havoc in our lives and those around us. And we give him a little bit of room, he takes a mile. I want to read to you Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. I have that one as well, thank you. Therefore, having put away falsehood, what's at the heart of spiritual warfare? Truth and lies. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another, same team. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. That word opportunity means place, dwelling place, location, room. In receiving and believing lies, strongholds or fortresses are built in us that we can't see, but we're living out of those lies. And it gives room, it gives a dwelling place to the enemy of God to destroy, to deceive, to manipulate, to wreak havoc. I have to mention part of what Paul was going through as he wrote these words to the church in Corinth. Why did Paul write this? The first part of 2 Corinthians 1 through 9 is mostly positive because most of the people in the church had listened to what Paul said in the first letter. And there's, if you haven't read 2 Corinthians in a while, please, just a treasure trove of riches in that book. My goodness. But when you get to chapter 10, it takes a twist where he becomes a lot more harsh because he's addressing a smaller group in the church that were actively fighting against God and convincing the people of God of some lies about him and about his word. There were a group of what we would call Judaizers in the church, similar with Galatians, in the church of Galatia, where some were teaching the Christians that to be a Christian, yes, Jesus, but you also still have to obey some of these ceremonial laws of the old covenant. Jesus, they wouldn't have said it this way. They wouldn't have said Jesus didn't fulfill that. They would just say, no, you can believe in him, but you also have to do these things. And so they were adding to the gospel, and Paul's not okay with that. And he's not okay with the lies that were being heard and believed by some in the church. And on top of that, they were ridiculing and undermining Paul himself, saying things to the church like, the reason he didn't accept tithes from you is because he's not legitimate and he knows he's not legitimate and God didn't send him. And even though his letters are weighty and impressive and dynamic, in person he just seems weak. And he doesn't have the oratory skills like we do, and they might have called themselves super apostles or just a nickname Paul gave them in the letter. They're not as impressive as we are in person. So you shouldn't trust him. So he's weak. So he wasn't really sent by God. And so they're undermining him and the mission that God sent him on to the church. This is within the church. These strongholds were being built, and accusations were being made. And Paul responds, and he's not going to respond with man-made weapons, but with the weapons that God has given to us. So what are the weapons that God has given to us? It's not arrows, it's not guns, it's not guns on your arms, right? It's not grenades. What are the weapons that we have in this war that we're already in? For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. What are they? The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, his word. It's the foundation of truth. If this war is about combating lies, where do we get the truth from? Do we create it? Do we decide what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil? What's according to reality and what's not? Do we decide that? Does the culture decide that? Does the government decide that? Is whatever becomes a law, is that inherently what's actually right and good? Who decides? It's humbling to say, you know what? I don't create truth. And no matter how much I might want to be the ruler and king who decides what's right and what's wrong, I'm not. And no one else is either. We're just people. But God is, and he's given us his word. His word tells us what's true, what's real, and what's not. What else is a weapon? Prayer. The more that we abide in his word and are shaped by his word, we begin to speak. We both think and speak his word. It influences how we talk and how we talk to God and how we talk to others. Prayer is a weapon, believe it. What else is a weapon? Not just abiding in his word and thinking his word and speaking his word in prayer, but do you know that singing his word is a weapon as well? There's an example in Samuel where King Saul is being tormented by the enemy. And what gave him sanity? What brought healing to him? It was David playing songs. And you better believe those songs were inspired by the word of God. It brought sanity. It brought healing to him. When we're singing, look, these weapons, you might say, they seem weak, don't they? You're just listening to something or reading something. You're just speaking these words out loud to each other or to a God that you can't see. You're just singing. You're saying those are weapons? Yes, they are. You better believe they are. They have divine power to destroy strongholds. The kingdom of God's upside down. What does real strength look like? It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care what your resume looks like. I don't care the things that you've accomplished. When it comes to power, real power, it's his way. It's him. The war we are in can only be won by God's power. By God's power. These are the weapons. We receive the truth of what he says. We receive his word. I want to put up for you, I'm not going to go into detail with this, but we have another slide of Ephesians 6, starting in 10 through 13, and then it goes from 14 to the first part of 18. And I just wanted to show you what the word says. There's a couple other places in Thessalonians it talks about it, these specific weapons and the armor that we have. But I want to put up these verses in Ephesians 6 that gives it most directly and in detail. Starting in verse 10. We're reminded that we access God's power, not ours. But if we go to the next slide, starting in verse 14, he starts to describe some of these weapons, some of this armor. And I just want to point out, there's so much we could talk about. Whew. I just want to point out a couple things. When you're looking at these weapons and this armor, see how it has to do with truth, with receiving the truth, telling yourself the truth. Stand therefore, having fastened on, what's the first thing he says in spiritual warfare? The belt of truth. Wrap yourself in the truth of God. Receive what his word says to be real and good and true. Receive his word, the belt of truth. And having put on, here's the next one, the breastplate of righteousness. Guarding your heart, guarding your chest is the breastplate of righteousness. Because when the lies come from the enemy, we remind ourselves, because of Jesus, I am right with God. Because of Jesus, we have been bought with the precious blood that has brought us into his kingdom, into his family. I am right with God. People might say, I'm not right. I got work to do to be accepted, to be approved, to be right with God. I tell myself that in my mind all the time. But the word of God says that because of the shed blood of Jesus, I am right with God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Tell yourself the truth about it. Breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. He's saying, take that word that you have, the good news of Jesus that you've received, put on the shoes to go and to speak the truth. Receive the truth. Embrace the truth. Speak the truth to others, putting on the shoes on your feet. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. He's going to keep sending the flaming darts of lies our ways, of accusations. God says he's constantly accusing his people, the people of God. He'll keep sending those lies. And he says, put up the shield of faith to defend it. To what? To guard against the lies, to believe, to trust in what the truth actually is. The shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. Here's a helmet, more armor of salvation. Reminding yourself, telling your mind, I have been saved. I have been delivered by Jesus from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's reminding ourselves the truth of it. I'm saved. I'm right with God. I have the truth of his word. I'm going to speak that truth to others. Do you see how it has to do with embracing, receiving, and speaking the truth of God, taking the word of God, verse 17 and 18, the word of God, the foundation of truth, and speaking it, praying it consistently at all times in the spirit. When does the war end? It doesn't. It's ongoing. I wish I could tell you, look, tomorrow you can just rest and just believe whatever you want. No. He says, pray at all times. Always have this in mind. Receiving the word, speaking the word, thinking the word, sharing the word. The war we're in can only be won by God's power. His word in our minds, his spirit in our hearts. And that's when we can begin filtering truth from lies. Right? He says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Can I just say real quick, do you know how many thoughts we think every day? Including the one you're thinking right now, which hopefully has to do with what we're talking about. How many thoughts do we think every day? It's somewhere between 60 to 70,000 thoughts every single day. Some of you are like, I was close. That's a lot of thoughts. And some of those thoughts, yes, are not true, right? And we need the wisdom of God to help us discern, what am I thinking that's actually true and right? And what am I thinking that's got me in chains and captive? We need to plead with God. God, show me. What are the lies I'm believing? What are the strongholds, the fortresses that have been built up in my life that I'm living out of those lies? We need him, and we need the people of God, the church, to be able to come alongside us and point out the things we can't see. Brother, sister, I think you're believing something that's not true here because I see it in your life in this way. Do you have people that know you that well? That's a decision we make. Are we going to get involved to have people that can speak truth in our lives? We have so many thoughts, but he says to us, take them captive. As in, don't allow yourself to simply just have those thoughts create, to believe those lies and live out of those. Take your thoughts captive. You have that thought that you think might be a lie, interrogate it. Tell it, you can't just run my life. Put your hands behind your back. Stop. We can't just stop thinking lies though, right? We got to replace them with the truth. Here's back to abiding in the word. We got to replace them with what's real. We got to substitute it for what's true. So let me give you some examples. If you're thinking the lie, that unless you perform, it's just a lie I believe so often. Unless you succeed and you achieve and you work hard enough, God won't love you and people won't love you or approve of you. You have that lie in your mind, don't just receive it. Say, you know what? Put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest. Here's the truth. Replace it with the truth. It's not my performance of why God's pleased with me and why I'm approved by him and why I matter and why I'm worth something. It's because of the performance of Jesus. It's because of his finished work in my stead that I am loved and accepted and approved and adopted into the family of God. Maybe you have the thought, look, if I'm going to be happy in life, I got to get it for myself. The world is really limited in what it has and what it can offer, and I got to just get it for myself if I'm going to be happy. You have those thoughts? Put them under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. Here's the truth of it. God is in control, and he owns this world, and he's generous, and he's giving. And Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He's got you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Maybe you have the thoughts that you're inadequate, that you can't do whatever God's called you to do in life. You're just not going to be able to cut it. You're just going to fail. Maybe someone else could do it, but not me. Maybe other people can be part of what God's doing, but not me. You have those thoughts. Read them there. Miranda writes, you have the right to remain silent. Because God has knit me together in my mother's womb. Before I was born, before I could think, before I could speak, God had a plan, a bag of days for me. He knows it all. He planned it all. Weaknesses and strengths. Every life circumstance that I would go through that he knew I would need. All of it. He's in charge. And even though I can't, true, but he can. And he will. Maybe you have the thoughts that you can't beat whatever sin issue that you have. You've been doing it too long. Other people might be able to, but you can't. You're done. You're finished. There's no way. Tell those thoughts the cell is this way, because God's word says no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And he will not tempt you beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way out, a way of escape that you may stand up under it. There's the truth. Combat those lies. Combat them. Maybe you think to yourself, look, I'm alone. Nobody's with me in this. I'm alone. Wrong again. Lie again. Put your hands behind your back. God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, ever. And when you have thoughts that you can't trust God, that he's a liar, that he's holding out on you, remember the truth that he's the only faithful one. Let God be true, though everyone is a liar. He's the only true one. Only him. So yes, we're in a war. And yes, it's primarily not against flesh and blood. And the war is for our hearts, for our minds. It's about combating lies. And we need the word of God in us, the spirit of God at work in us, to be able to identify, and the people of God with us, to be able to identify and combat those lies, to substitute them for the truth. I am so aware how many of us are living, we just have strongholds. We just keep believing the same lies, myself included, over and over and over again. And we call out to Jesus for help. We call out to the Lord, the only one who can protect us and shield us and fight for us with the weapons he's provided, not the ones we can think of or create. I'm going to end with this. If you're here and you're thinking to yourself, first of all, I didn't know that we were in a war. And maybe there's thoughts of shame about that or embarrassment. You have no need to be embarrassed. You have no need to be ashamed of that. Understand that the story that you have so far, it's not wasted. God's been at work, and he will use the experiences that you've had. He has a story for you. He wants to build you up. He wants to show you what he has for you to now fight against this war, to take up the armor. We're going to have people available to pray. I would love today, if you didn't know you were in this war, you don't know God, you don't know his word, people would love to pray with you about that, talk to you about that. If you're thinking in the same group of people, if you're thinking, I can't control these thoughts that I have. I don't seem to be able to tame them. We're not surprised by that. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God is self-control. And there's self-control that we simply don't have apart from him. And for the many of us that do know that we're in this war and we have a relationship with Jesus and we understand that it's not easy to combat these lies when they keep coming, and they keep coming at us. How many every day? Even if you don't want to think it, they're just coming at you. From what you're listening to, from the people around you, from the enemy. It's a really simple tip. Maybe some of you are already doing it. But I know what can help me is to start the day with unfiltered truth. Just start the day, even if it's just a minute before you get out of bed. Start with truth. Speak those verses you already have in your heart, in your mind. Guard it up. Open up the Word of God before the madness of the day takes over. Start with truth. End with truth. And that can help us be able to filter through lies throughout the day. I'm going to close with a couple other verses for you to be thinking about as we pray. They're found in John. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth." Why? Because of his word in us. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let me pray. Father, one of the songs that we sing has the lyrics that you, Jesus, are our sanity. And God, that's more than just, it more than just sounds good. It's true. Life can be so confusing, so chaotic. There's so much information coming our way. And as many of us are digital natives, we've had so much to the point where maybe we've just even stopped trying, or at least stopped trying hard to filter what's real and what's not, what's true and what's lies. We need you to be our sanity. We need your word in us, your spirit at work in us, your people around us who are committed to you to help point out what's real and what's not, what lies we are believing and we've allowed to become strongholds, fortresses, where the enemy is at work in us. I pray, Lord, that even this week, that there would be multiple men, women, young ones among us that would be brave enough to have a conversation with you, with another brother or sister or a few, to just say, "I know I'm living out of some lies. Would you help me face those, confront those?" That I want your word to set me free. Lord, we are well aware that these attacks, these fiery darts of the enemy, they don't let up, they don't stop. One day the war will be over, but not yet. But I pray, Lord, for our church, right here, for all the people here, Lord, for those that couldn't be with us today, that you would help us, as our church name is, Terra Nova, New Earth, New Ground, to take ground, to take ground back, to be moving in the right direction, to be maturing, to be growing, to be taking thoughts captive in obedience to Christ, to be the kind of people that others see and can't help but notice, there is something different about that person. Why? Tell me about the hope that is in you. How are you able to control your thoughts in the ways that I can't? How do you have this hope? How do you have this peace? How do you have this purpose? How do you have this consistency, this faithfulness, this gentleness? There's something in you I don't have. And we can say it's not something, it's someone. And he is at work. And he is changing me. He is conforming me. Not into this world, as your word says, to not be conformed or pushed down into the mold of this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. You're making us into people that if we had a glimpse of today, we'd be tempted to worship, as Lewis said. You're changing us from glory to glory. Father, I pray for each one of us to be moving towards you. And for any of us that are walking in the wrong direction, I pray in your name, Jesus, that you would turn them around. That you would illuminate the lies that they're believing. Father, some of us need a harsh word out of love. Others of us need just a gentle turning. A gentle arm around the shoulder to say, look, I'm with you. I want to help, and we're on the same team. And I pray, Jesus, for those that know that they need some prayer today. They need some real weapons. They need some real armor that you've given. That you would help them not leave until they talk about it, until they pray, until they go to that corner, or they go to a brother or sister and work through it. And bring it to you, Jesus.